At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper, weekdays from 4:30. Today
FM. So we've heard this week at the inquest of teenager Aoife Johnson has been absolutely shocking. Ralph Regal, Southern correspondent of the Irish Independent, has been at the inquest and was there today when the verdict was returned by the Limerick coroner, John McNamara. What did he say, Ralph, in delivering his verdict?
Yeah, as you said, Matt, it really was horrific. The verdict of death by medical misadventure came after we had had the final two witnesses today. There was evidence given by Dr. James Gray, who was the medical consultant, the emergency consultant at University Hospital Limerick. And he described the emergency department that weekend of December the 17th and 18th, 2022, as a death trap. And I think really the coroner reflected that in his verdict. He basically said that there was no question but that the verdict had to be death by medical misadventure. He said that he was a native of Limerick, and he said that there were very great concerns over University Hospital Limerick's emergency department, in particular the overcrowding at the emergency department. And of course, the inquest had heard that basically staff were almost overwhelmed that weekend, and there were submissions made that the major emergency plan should have been triggered that weekend. Such was the pressure on staff. It went from, at one point, 101 patients in the emergency department to 191 patients. And at one point, one senior house officer was desperately trying to cope with 160 patients, some of whom were very, very seriously ill. But there, I mean,
sorry, Ralph, just basically what it comes down to is that there quite simply weren't enough doctors and nurses available to cover the unexpectedly large number of people who were in the emergency department. Does that express
absolutely.
It?
That is it. And to put it in figures, Dr. James Gray pointed out that to resolve the problem at the emergency department in UHL, they need 300 extra beds. Now, there are 96 beds in a unit coming on stream next year. There's a further 96 beds due, but they're not due until 2028. And Dr. Gray pointed out that's a very long time to wait. And the coroner, in his view, he said there were systemic failures, there were missed opportunities, and there were communication breakdowns throughout. She, i.e. Aoife, should have been treated in a timely manner. And the reference to the timely manner, just for your listeners, Aoife was admitted to University Hospital Limerick at 5:40 p.m. on December the 17th. Now, she had a letter from a Shannondock GP querying that she had sepsis. Now, that meant she should have been seen immediately. She wasn't triaged for an hour and a quarter. She wasn't seen by a doctor for 12 hours. And even when that doctor said that she had possible meningitis and recommended immediate antibiotics, Aoife didn't get the antibiotics for another hour and a quarter. So it was 15 and one quarter hours before Aoife got the antibiotics that, according to consultant microbiologist Dr. Patrick Stapleton, most likely would have saved her life.
That's what's damning, Ralph, isn't it? That most likely would have saved her life if she got the antibiotics she required when she had presented at the hospital.
Yeah, shocking. I mean, the really shocking part is this teenager should not have died. You know, the solicitor for the Johnston family, Damien Tansey, he said, like, had the system worked the way it was supposed to have worked, we would not be here today. I mean, this was a girl that had type B meningococcal infection, which is readily treatable by targeted antibiotics. And had those antibiotics been given when they should have been given, she most likely would have made a full recovery. But of course, the stark reality is that for every 2-hour delay, in giving the antibiotics, the mortality rate doubles. And by the time Aoife got the antibiotics, which was at 7:15 in the morning of December the 18th, 15 and a quarter hours of a delay, it was simply too late for her. She lapsed into a coma, and her family were told that there was nothing that could be done for her, and she died on December the 19th.
It's just so shocking, unbelievable to think that this could have happened because of such gross overcrowding and a failure to give treatment which clearly was required. Stay with us, Ralph, because what I want to do is play a little bit of the audio from after the inquest verdict of medical misadventure. This is Aoife Johnson's parents.
It's terrifying. I'd be terrified to go in there myself, or if the girl, my own other children had to go in again. And that's really a sad state of affairs. Like, so we brought Aoife where we told her she would be looked after, but she wasn't. We told her she was in the best place.
Try and get some rest, Aoife.
Get some rest.
You're in the
best doctors
place.
Will be here soon, and the doctors never came.
And Ralph, that again, I suppose every parent who has a child or anyone who goes with a sick person into hospital tells that sick person, you'll get the best of care here. You'll be looked after. You'll get the treatment you require. You'll get better. And this was an absolute failure on the part of the emergency department at the hospital to actually look after this teenage girl.
Yeah, and I think it's important to stress, Matt, her parents were with her in the emergency department. It was so busy that they didn't even have a trolley to spare for Aoife. She was given a wheelchair and she was put in what her parents described as a storeroom off the emergency department. And in desperation, her parents pushed two chairs together so the teenager could get some little bit of a comfort in a makeshift bed. Both of her parents repeatedly pleaded with nurses that a doctor needed to see their daughter. And in fairness to some of the nurses, I think it's very important to say this as well, the nurses did everything they could. The nurses went to several times to the registrars on duty and asked them. One nurse in particular said at three separate occasions she tried to get attention for Aoife, but that attention didn't come until a senior house officer, Leandre Card, actually bumped Aoife up the list of waiting patients to see her because she was so concerned about the condition, how worried the parents were. She went to Aoife and within minutes she realised she was dealing with a case of meningitis.
Listener here says, I'm a junior doctor. There should be more onus on having more consultants present on site. They can discharge the non-urgent patients quicker or see the most sick. Junior doctors get dumped with unrealistic workloads. And a number of things came across, I think, from your reporting on this inquest, Ralph. The distress of the nurses and doctors as to what happened, something that they're going to, I think, never forget as part of their experience of working there that night. But also just the shortage of available staff because it was a weekend.
Yeah, there were a number of factors that combined. It was a weekend. They were already down staff numbers. There was a number, I think it was at one point there was 22 or 23 nursing staff that they were down. There was a number of those nursing staff missing who were unexpected, so they were scrambling at the last minute to try and get cover. That weekend came after a red weather alert in Ireland, which was downgraded to a status yellow alert, and there were a large number of patients came into the emergency department as a consequence of falls and injuries due to ice. But what was remarkable was the number of injuries that were category two. In other words, patients that should be seen within 15 minutes. And I think the most stark revelation of a week full of stark revelations was the fact that weekend, if you were a category two patient, some category two patients were waiting up to 19 hours to be assessed and properly treated. And the fallout, Matt, is that a large number of the staff that were working have basically quit or transferred out of the emergency department and in the HSE. And one nurse in particular, Catherine Skelly, who had done everything she could on the evening to try and get extra support, to try and get extra staff, to try and get some kind of response to deal with the overcrowding. She basically said that she was emotionally and professionally broken by what had happened that evening.
I've just been given a statement by the Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly. I'm going to read it. I wish to offer my sincere condolences to Aoife's parents and sisters who tragically lost their daughter and sister in University Hospital Limerick. I met with Aoife's parents in January. My thoughts are with them after what must have been an immensely difficult week. I would like to thank the coroner for all his work this week, but I'm aware that nothing will ever make up for the enormous loss the Johnson family has experienced. The coroner's recommendations will be fully considered, along with the work of retired Chief Justice Frank Clark, who is due to conclude his independent investigation in the coming weeks. What were the coroner's recommendations? Because I would suspect there might have been about having more staff and more beds.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, Matt, what he did was he endorsed the fact that the recommendations were that the Hamilton report, that it be fully implemented. And that report is dealing with a wide number of issues in University Hospital Limerick, specifically in connection with the emergency department. But there were other issues that cropped up as well. One in particular was the fact that if you attend University Hospital Limerick as a suspected sepsis patient, that should be noted and alerted on your chart. So that in Aoife's case, I mean, it was argued during the inquest that she had fallen through the cracks, that hard as it is to believe that this was a young girl who was fighting for her life, she had meningitis and sepsis, and yet there was no mention of her in the medical handover at 8 a.m. on December the 18th. That's over 12 hours after she was admitted. So that's one of the things that they're hoping will do. And the other thing is a recommendation that the escalation system, so in other words, that if the emergency department finds itself threatened with being overwhelmed again by numbers, that practical steps are triggered. And the point that was made during this inquest was that such was the level of overcrowding at University Hospital Limerick over the weekend of December the 17th and on 18th, 2022. It was unprecedented, and it represented a bigger challenge for the emergency staff than if there had been a major accident or incident in Limerick, which would have triggered the major emergency plan.
Ralph Regal, Southern correspondent of the Irish Independent. Thank you.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.